142 years ago, that would have been 1884, there was a little puppy born. He was a mixed breed terrier who was given the name Nipper. That little dog would go on to become world famous. I'd like to pray. Father, we beseech you, we beg you, Father, to speak to us. I pray, Lord, that you would, as Galen prayed, just remove all distractions, remove thoughts that are contrary to your will, to your word. I pray, Lord, that you would rebuke the devil in Jesus' name. You'd shelter us under the blood of Jesus, that you'd help our hearts to be lifted up to you and have ears to hear what you have to say. We commit ourselves into your care, Father, and we thank you for your faithfulness in ages past and the hope we have for now and for ages to come. In Jesus' name, amen. What do you think of when you think of your father? I'd like you to do that. Think about your father. What comes to mind? It depends. It's an individual thing. It depends in large part on your age. What does a 3-year-old think of his father? What does an 18-year-old think of his father? A 25-year-old, a 30-year-old, a 71-year-old. Depends on your stage of life. Also depends on your experience, your frame of reference. It's unfortunate that some people did not have a good relationship with a father. Some people may have lost the father when they were young, did not get to develop that relationship. But we all have thoughts how we view our father. At age 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, our dad is so big and so strong and so smart, and he's just the greatest thing in the world. And when it's time for dad to come home, you climb up on the couch, look out the window, is dad coming yet? And you run to meet him at the door, and want to be with dad. You want dad to play with you. And age 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, somewhere in that range, some people begin to wonder, what happened to dad? He's not as smart as I thought he once was. He just doesn't quite get it. Thankfully, that's not all people, but there's plenty that do. But then sometime in your 20s, a little bit later on, you begin to realize that it wasn't dad that didn't get it. That I just didn't want to listen to what dad had to say. It was me that didn't get it. What does your father's voice sound like? Can you hear your father's voice in your mind right now? Maybe you just heard your father's voice earlier this morning. Maybe it's been almost 30 years since I've heard my father's voice. I can still hear it. What does his voice sound like to you? What does it communicate? What does dad's voice communicate? Does it communicate comfort, strength, wisdom, correction, instruction, laughing, loving? Well, that again can depend on stage of life. And there are times again where children, young people, they just don't want to hear Dad's voice right now. Many of us whose fathers are no longer here would just love the opportunity to hear Dad's voice again. To call him on the phone or stop in for a visit, sit down, and I don't know how long a list of questions I would have if I had that opportunity to write down that I'd want to ask my dad. Just to talk to him and hear. That relationship between a father and a child, and the communication that develops between a father and a child, that as a child grows with this view of a dad and how open that relationship is and just what that looks like, can set the stage for how that child, as he grows, will begin to view God as our Father. So I'd like to think this morning about how I feel about my Father's voice. And now I'm talking about our Heavenly Father, I'm talking about God's voice, my Father's voice, and I'd like to use that for the title, My Father's Voice. But I do want us to understand that as we think about this, that God has made us in His image, and God has established fatherhood, and God has established the home, and God has established these relationships as a shadow of what He desires as a father and us as His children. And so we can see the parallels, we can see the similarities. Now, God obviously is the perfect Father, and He communicates perfectly. And so we want to think about some of those other things. How often do I just not want to hear what God has to say? Nipper, that puppy born in 1884, was owned by a gentle, loving man. This man was intrigued by a new invention. This new invention was the gramophone, or the phonograph, or a record player like we used when we were young. This man recorded his voice to be played on this phonograph, this machine. When the man died, little Nipper was given to this man's brother, along with the phonograph and the recordings. And so this man, whose name was Francis Barreau, he was a painter, he was an artist. And Francis would play this phonograph with his late brother's voice. And little Nipper would sit, I know this is kind of small, but little Nipper would sit. And you know how little dogs do sometimes, they cock their heads and listening intently. What was he listening to? He was listening to his master's voice. His master's voice was so attractive to him. It just brought back memories, and it filled a place in his life. He was listening intently to his master's voice. So Francis was intrigued by this picture of this little dog sitting there each time, listening to his master's voice, and so he painted this picture. And long story short, this eventually became the trademark with the title His Master's Voice for the Victor Talking Machine Company, which became RCA Victor, which became RCA, Radio Corporation of America, and the English affiliate over there, they didn't call it RCA, they called it HMV for His Master's Voice. But this dog became very famous for listening intently to his master's voice. Do I have a devotion like that? To leave lesser pursuits, to intently listen to my master's voice? I guess we could go off on this way and ask the question, well, who is my master? Because we are listening. We are listening to somebody. And unfortunately, there's too many lying tongues out there. There's too many things in the world, whether it's advertising or whether it's the media or wherever it is, there's too many lying voices. Who is my master? So what does my Father's voice sound like? We can be sure that his voice is comforting. It's strong, it's wise, it's correcting, it's instructing in righteousness. It's loving. His word is always perfect. His word is always true. His word is always all that we need for life and godliness. As I looked on the computer program to find verses that talked about God's voice or the voice of God, well over 100. And I jotted down several of them, most of which are still sitting on my desk. But it's an interesting study. You can learn a lot that way. So what does God's voice sound like? Open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19. Got several short passages to look at this morning. The voice of God, what does it sound like? You look at passages, and we're tempted to spend more time than we should in that passage for what we're looking at. This is a familiar scene, 1 Kings chapter 19. Verse 11, Elijah was on the mountain and God was there. And Elijah was confused and he was wondering and he was looking for God's will. And God brought a strong wind and he brought an earthquake and he brought a fire, all these things. And we can go deep into those things too. Maybe you want to study into that sometime. But in verse 12, it says, After the earthquake and fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. So what does God's voice sound like? A still small voice. God's voice is a still small voice. Is that all God's voice is? Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. So God was not in the fire, and he spoke with a still small voice. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Verse 22, Moses was recounting the Ten Commandments that God had given. These words, verse 22, the Lord spake, God's voice, unto all your assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire of the cloud and of the thick darkness with a great voice. So here God was in the fire. And it was a loud voice. It was a great loud voice. So sometimes a still small voice, sometimes a loud voice, sometimes in quietness, sometimes in the midst of a fire. And again, we can make application to all those things. Many of us have gone through fires, and if you live long enough, you probably will. Is God there? Yeah, God is there. And he will speak. In those places, Job chapter 37. You know the story of Job. Job chapter 37, at this also my heart trembleth and is moved out of his place. Hear attentively the noise of his voice and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. Hear attentively, like Nipper. He directeth it unto the whole heaven, and is lightning unto the ends of the earth. Verse 4, after it a voice roareth. He thundereth with the voice of his excellency, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. So what does God's voice sound like? One more, Ezekiel chapter 43. His voice is a still small voice in the quietness. His voice is a great voice in the fire. His voice thundereth. Ezekiel 43, verse 2. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like a noise of many waters. And the earth shined with his glory. So a voice of many waters. But as we read on, I want us to notice something very important here. So God is speaking. Does God ever stop speaking to us? I mean, my dad, he would speak sometimes. Most of the time he wasn't speaking. Does God ever stop speaking to us? Does God ever stop speaking to us? Nobody wants to answer that question. Thomas, does God ever stop speaking to us? No, he doesn't. God is always speaking. He's always speaking. Are we always listening? But I want you to notice this. His voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory, and it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw. So Ezekiel is saying here that what God was saying agreed with what he was perceiving or thinking. So he had confirmation that what he was thinking was right. And that is oh so important. That is dreadfully important. And we're going to see a little bit how we can discern that. It was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the visions that I saw by the river Kibar, and I fell upon my face at the word of the Lord. So how important is God's voice? What was Satan's first statement that we read of in the Bible? Somebody. Hath God said? Is he still saying that today? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Hath God said? You don't believe that, do you? That's not what he meant. My father's voice is so powerful. His voice is so powerful that he created all things by it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were created by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. With a word. With a word. What's the first thing that we read that God said in the Bible? What are the first three words that we read that God said in the Bible? Let there be. Let there be. Let there be light. Let there be. Let there be. What happened when he said that? What happened when he said that? There was. There was. That's right. Yeah. My father's voice is so powerful. So I often wonder, there's a verse in Peter. Let there be light. As God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. How come that doesn't happen the same way? It's because the light was non-resistant. Mankind is not. How can we describe God's voice? Let's turn to Psalm 29. Psalm 29. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Be ye holy, for I am holy. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forests, and in his temple doth every one speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. So reading this psalm here, what does this tell us about the voice of the Lord? It's unstoppable. It's everywhere. It's all powerful. It can do what he wants. His word will not return void. We can certainly hinder that, and we do an awful lot. But he accomplishes his purposes. The voice of the Lord, we could also say, is personal. Tell me somebody that God called by name. Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. Samuel didn't recognize his voice, did he? Not at first. Somebody else. Adam. Somebody else. Moses. Yeah, very good, Michael. Moses. Yeah, somebody else. How about New Testament? I'm sorry? Saul. Saul, Saul. Said it twice again. You ever heard God call your name twice in a row? For me, he's had to call it more than twice in a row. Maybe with a knock on the head, too. Saul, Saul, who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Lord? He didn't recognize his voice at first. He recognized it after he became acquainted with him. Psalm 29. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, God, that's who we're talking about, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, he spoke. He spoke in times past to who? To people, unto the fathers. How did he do that? By the prophets. So God sometimes spoke directly to people, called them by name. Sometimes he spoke to a person, a prophet, to give his message. How well received, if you know your Old Testament, how well received by God's people was the word of God through his prophets? Not very good. Lots of verses. I picked two verses here to read from Jeremiah. This is typical. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. This is God speaking through the prophet. Obey my voice. Doesn't sound like a hard thing to do, does it? And I will be your God. Wow, what a return. And you shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. What a simple promise. Simple condition, simple promise. And the people, well, let's read the next verse. But they hearken not. nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. I remember many years ago, we were teaching an Old Testament Bible class. As we went through the year, and it just seemed like the story was the same over and over again. God delivered his people, or blessed them, and they were so thankful, and then they went away and suffered consequences, and they cried out to God again and again. And at one point in the year, I said, does this sound familiar? I'm like, yeah, it keeps happening. What was wrong with those people? I'm like, yeah, what was wrong with those people? They hearken not. Why didn't they hearken? Why didn't they listen? Why did they walk in the counsels and the imaginations of their own heart? Counsels. Whose counsels? Yea, hath God said. The counsels of the world. God, at sundry times and diverse manner, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. But hath in these last days spoken unto us. How did he do that? By his son, by Jesus, who is God himself, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds. We already talked about that. Jesus. And God even made it clear. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them on the Mount of Transfiguration. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Listen to him and obey him. Listen and obey. But there's so many counsels out there, the vain imaginations of our heart, the things we hear in the media, the things that we read that are not in consonance with God's word. So how does God our Father speak to us today? I'm just going to mention four ways, maybe four main ways, he speaks to us through his word. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's alive. I've told you before to listen to his heartbeat, right? His word, he speaks to us today. His word is enduring, it's everlasting, it never fails. It meets every need that we have. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, his word. That's why it's called his word. He's speaking to us. He speaks to us through his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit. Have you heard the Holy Spirit? He speaks to us through circumstances. Circumstances. I'm going to relay a little story. I wasn't sure if I'd have time, but it looks like we're going pretty quickly here. Circumstances. Sometime last year, I was faced with a decision. It was kind of a difficult decision. It was one of those decisions where either way, it wasn't wrong. And the one way, if I decided to accept this decision, it would have been positive in the way of possession, it would have been positive in the way of position, it would have been positive in the way of passion, something I like to do, but none of those things were wrong, but I wasn't sure what God's will was. So these circumstances led to the fourth way, godly counsel from brothers and sisters. We have the Word of God, we have His Holy Spirit, We have circumstances, and we have godly brothers and sisters. So I obviously spoke quite a bit with my wife. I asked my three sons, and they thought about it, and then we all went to lunch together, and they gave me their input. I asked a couple of brothers from church, got their input, and all the input was consistent. Sounds like a wonderful opportunity. But are you sure at your age it's the right opportunity for you? So I determined that it was God's will that I not accept that. My decision was made. And since, there's been confirmation over and over again that that was the right decision. That was God's will. So maybe the things that we want, the things that would make us feel good, the things that, maybe that's not always God's will, or maybe just not right now. So we need to be listening. We need to know His Word. We need to have His Word hidden in our hearts. We need to have His Word alive in us. We need to be attentive to the Holy Spirit, not lying spirits, not other spirits. We need to evaluate circumstances. What's going on? How does this impact that? Speaking of circumstances, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth His handiwork, right? So even God's creation speaks to us. Even God's creation speaks to us every day. A lot of the devotionals, a lot of the object lessons that we hear are just lessons from creation. And those are some of the most powerful lessons. And I don't want to minimize godly brothers and sisters, godly counsel. In the Old Testament, God spoke to and through the prophets. The response of the people was far too often rejection of God's direction. So we need to beware. We're given this caution several times in Scripture. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. These things were our examples that we should not reject God's voice as they did. Hath God said? What hath God said? God said, let there be light. God said, this is my beloved Son, listen to Him. God has spoken, is still speaking today. The heavens declare His Word, He's still speaking. His Holy Spirit, circumstances, godly counsel. How many times do we read, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. How can we hear His voice? Open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 29. Verse 13, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with your whole heart. There's a lot more depth and power in that verse than at first glance. What does it take to put our whole heart into something? What does it take? A lot of people put their whole heart into things. The Olympics are going on right now, the Winter Olympics. And there you have a lot of people that have put their whole heart into something. Their life has revolved for years around this one thing. not that they don't have a life beyond it, but everything they do is with the intent of being the best that they can be to win that gold medal. How can we hear God's voice? He says, we'll seek him. God, where are you? God, speak to me, please. And he says, we'll find him when we look for him, ask for him with our whole heart. God knows when we ask for direction, if we really mean it. Somebody had an illustration recently about that. I don't remember the illustration, but it reminded me of the one where the guy came to a fork in the road, wasn't sure which way to go. And so he picked up a stick and he said, I'm going to twirl it, and whichever way it points when it lands, I'm going to go that way. So he picked it up and picked it up again and picked it up a third time, and his friend said, why'd you do it three times? Well, I didn't like the way it pointed the first two times. Are we like that with God? God, I want to know what you think. I want to know what you want me to do, but our whole heart. It seems that Nipper's whole heart was somewhere. He just wanted to hear his master's voice. They must have had a great relationship, don't you think? It could have been when he heard the voice that Nipper would have tucked his tail and run. But obviously, they had a loving relationship. Five conditions of a heart to hear God quickly. Somebody quote Psalm 46:10 for me. Thank you. Be still and know that I am God. Condition number one, be still. Be still. Again, a lot of depth there. What does that mean, be still? Be still and know. Be still. Be still. Be yielded. Be surrendered. Be not distracted by the cares of this life. Be still. And know that's a relationship. So this little verse that we all know, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. It would do us well to meditate on that day by day and examine my heart. Am I still? Am I yielded? Am I willing? And know, do I know God? How can I know him better? Relationship, do I know my Father? Be still and know that I am God. Conditions of a heart to hear God. Number two, be softened. Be softened. I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 11. What does that mean, be softened? And we can use other words there. Be broken, be crushed, be contrite, be softened. Matthew chapter 11, verse 15 says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Who's speaking? Who's speaking there? Jesus is. Okay, so Jesus, God, is saying to his people, I gave you ears for a purpose. Use them. Listen. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. Then he tells this interesting little story about the children sitting in the markets calling to their fellows, we've piped unto you, you have not danced, we have mourned unto you, you have not lamented. Too many times we have our own ideas and we think we're right. We think we're right. And we may have pretty good basis for thinking we're right. But if we just spend the time to intently listen to God's word, listen to the Holy Spirit, we may find, listen to godly counsel, we may find that, well, that's not totally right. They were piping and dancing, they were mourning, and that wasn't right, neither one. They viewed John wrongly. They viewed Jesus wrongly. They didn't understand. They didn't see clearly. They weren't listening. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear, Jesus said. Isaiah 57, you don't need to turn there. I dwell in the high and holy place with who? With him that is of a contrite. Now that word does mean crushed. Contrite and humble spirit. Condition number two, be softened. Be contrite, be humble. Condition number three, be seeking. All these conditions kind of intersect. Be seeking, be listening, he that hath ears. Proverbs 2, let's go to Proverbs chapter 2 real quick. Proverbs 2 says, my son, if thou wilt receive, how do we receive? My words, hide my commandments with thee so that thou, and how do we do this? How do we incline the ear? If you incline your ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart, there's the heart part, to understanding, if thou seekest her, so be seeking. And this, I know you've heard this before, seeking her as silver and searches for his hid treasure. If you found out there was a hid treasure in your backyard, that's what you'd be doing until you found it. Everything else can wait. Wisdom. Who here needs wisdom and understanding? Seek wisdom and understanding. Where do we seek for it? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Number four. Again, a lot of overlap here. Be submitted. These are all S words. Be still, be softened, be seeking, be submitted. John 10:27. A favorite verse of all of us, I think. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. What's after the next and? My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. If we hear the voice of God and it results in us following him, what came in between? Lots of stuff. Faith, belief, love, obedience, willing, yeah. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. Be submitted. In James, submit yourself therefore to God. In Peter, 1 Peter 5, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Be subject one to another. Does that mean that whatever any of you say to me, I have to do whatever I say you have to? That's not what that means. We need to esteem others better than ourselves. But we corporately, we hear from God. If we have a decision corporately to make, we don't merely take a vote and majority rules. Or we don't set some arbitrary percentage and say if we get up to that point. No, we pray. And maybe fast. And we seek God together. And we hear from God. We search his word and we listen to the Holy Spirit. We talk. We don't go lightly into decisions that are going to affect the future. Be submitted. Number five is not an S word. Pray. And pray has two sides, right? It's a dialogue. The listening part of prayer. In John 16, Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot hear them now. And that's true with all of us. We are at different stages of life. There are things that the young ones, they just can't understand, they can't hear. There's many things to say. Even the oldest of us here, we've gotten about, I don't know, just a little tiny bit of God's counsel and God's message, and there's so much more, and we're going to spend eternity learning more about God and His glory and His majesty. But He said, ask and seek and knock, and He will answer. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, the Holy Spirit. And so we have these five conditions. We have these four ways. Are there more conditions? Are there more ways? Most certainly. But these are just a few things to think about. Do you want to hear God's voice? Do you want to hear your Father's voice? If your father is no longer living, your earthly father, would you just love to hear His voice again? Our Heavenly Father is alive and will be forever. And He wants to talk to us. He wants to speak to us. He wants to give us His love, give us His comfort, His encouragement, give us His correction, give us His instruction, give us all things that we need day by day, moment by moment. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Maybe we need to take a lesson from Nipper. Do I pick up my Bible in the morning? And could somebody paint a picture that looks something like that with me and my Bible? Let's kneel for prayer.